Thanks, Janelle. Thank you, everybody. So good. And thank you, band. Actually, Jessica, if you can stay there for a moment. Everyone else, you can sit back down for a second. Actually, where's my phone? It's just down here. I was reading just between services a passage of scripture, and in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, I was reading this in my New Living Translation, but then I decided to open it up on my phone so I could read it in the Amplified Bible, because I don't have an Amplified Bible sitting at home. But it says this in the Amplified Bible: "But on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for edification, to promote their spiritual growth, and to speak words of encouragement to uphold and advise them concerning matters of God, and speaks words of consolation to compassionately comfort them." Prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. Prophecy is to strengthen, encourage, and comfort. And I just felt in this atmosphere of worship that we had that there were some prophetic words brewing in a few people here tonight. I don't know who those people are, and that scares me. but I just felt like, did anyone feel like there was a word to strengthen, a word to encourage, and a word to comfort over the people of God here tonight? Did you feel something, Peter? Yeah, come up here, Peter. Peter's on our pastoral team and a fantastic man. Can you speak out? What was it? I just felt like something was in someone. I'm glad that you...
Great, Dan. It doesn't matter where you are in God. He takes you as you are. Too many of us think God is the God of the pretty, or those in suits or ties. That was the church I went to for a while. God is the God of jeans and thongs and sandals and dirt. He's the God of sharing meals. And he says to you, yes, come into my house. Come into my house. Come and sit on my knee. I take you as you are. There's someone here who's been long in their faith, that someone is saying, God is saying, I take you as you are. There's someone here who's young in their faith, and they're doubting that. But God says, enter my courts with thanksgiving in your heart. And why are you thankful? Because he says, yes, yes, yes. You're mine. You're mine. Come on in. Come on in. You don't have to be pretty. You don't have to be have it all together. In fact, God loves not having it together, because then he can change you. He can change you. So enter his courts with thanksgiving in your heart. Be who you are before him. Don't try and be anyone else. Don't try and be anyone else. God takes you now. Now. He's saying yes to you.
You have something? We'll pray into this one first, and then, yeah, let's applaud God. I like that. It's always good to give God praise. God, we just praise you. But Lord, we just ask that whoever that word was for, that their soul, their spirit, their body and their mind would receive it exactly as you have spoken it to them, that it would help them just understand that they don't have to try to get their act together, do anything different to step into your presence, God. But in Christ, we can walk boldly into the throne room of grace. They don't have to change their shoes. They don't have to change their shirt on their back, but they can step in just as they are, in Christ, boldly into your throne room. Thanks, Jen. Do you want to... What is it that you felt God was... Jump up. Come on.
I really felt specifically for one person, and I don't know who it is, but... And it's a proof that God has a sense of humour word, but the word that I got was to do with stinky cheese. And I want to unpack that a little bit, because I just was like in worship going, why am I thinking about stinky cheese, God? I'm so unholy and unspiritual, and... I just, the odour in a cheese becomes stronger the longer that it is exposed to light and heat. Like, you leave that stuff out on the windowsill, it's going to get stinkier, right? Okay, and so there's someone here tonight, and God is saying, time in my presence, time with the heat of the Holy Spirit, time in the light of my presence is going to dramatically impact your influence in the community. He's wanting to develop a fragrance on someone's life. Not that it's going to be stinky, but you know what? It's not going to be for everyone. that you can't ignore. When you walk into the room, there's something there and you can't ignore it. And the growth of that influence and the growth of that not being able to ignore ability is directly related to time exposed to his presence, to light and to heat.
Good. Thank you for sharing that, Jen. Let's just close our eyes. And if that was a word for you, I just want you to receive it. Lord, I just thank you so much for that analogy. I think there's someone that loves blue cheese in this room that you're speaking to. We just ask in Jesus' mighty name as they expose themselves to your Holy Spirit in that time where they just get away with you, God. And as they press in and allow the light of your word to be a lamp unto their feet and direct their path, that you would help that aroma of their life, the calling of Christ on their life to have a greater influence, a greater impact, and to shift atmospheres spiritually. I believe right now there's a shifting of spiritual atmospheres, of rooms that you'll step into, not because of who you are, but because who he is in you. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is in you. So, Lord, we just pray that that word would be done and reach the fruition that you desire it to reach in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Let's thank Jessica for playing the keys a fraction longer than she was planning to. Oh, the anointing of those. Oh, and Simon was hiding behind the drums as well. I didn't even realize that. He had Stealth Mode Ninja written all over him. Hey, tonight I want to share with you a brief, quick message called No Vision or In Vision. No Vision or In Vision. And then at the end of this message here today, I want to invite out every person who's a uni student, every person who's a college student, and every person who's a high school student. So I'm speaking to the people up the back as well, just so you already know it this, right at the start of my message. We want to pray for all students, all people that are in high school, all people that are in college, and all people that are in university. And you'll understand why as we get through the vision, as we get through the message. Now, no vision or in vision. Who's ever bought tickets to like a concert or a football game, a sporting event, the ballet, the underwater hockey? Actually, has anyone actually bought a ticket to underwater hockey? Like, legit? Seriously? That's actually pretty cool. Like, I didn't think people did that. But if you ever bought a ticket to an event and then you arrive at the event and there's no vision, you can't actually see the event you paid money for because there's either a giant post. You thought they were cheap tickets and you're like, score, this is awesome. I bought the bargain tickets. And then it's just like, I now understand why they were a bargain because there's a giant post in front of me and I can't even see the band. Or for those vertically impaired people in the room, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the part that I've played at inhibiting your view from watching the spectacle that is AFL. I'm sorry for inhibiting your view from that Coldplay concert. I'm sorry for inhibiting your view from the underwater water polo. I'm tall. I know that. I remember a concert that I went to. There was this big event in Sydney. It was called Live Earth. It was 20 years or 25 years after Live 8. Was anyone sort of aware of that back in the day when they were trying to raise money for rescue to feed people in Africa? And then a bunch of decades later, they're like, oh, we should do something like that again. Me, my brother, and a whole bunch of, we went to this event in Sydney, and there was tens of thousands of people at it. And my brother's a bit taller than me, and we were wearing the red shirt, this Live 8 shirt. And we then met these like six other guys who are all about the same height as us. And we all decided to stand in a line next to each other about this distance to where Daniel is at the and Peter and the team are at the sound desk from the stage. You should have heard the complaints behind us. They were like, we paid money to be here. We're like, we paid money here to be here. If we step behind you, then the next person's going to complain, and the next person's going to complain, and we're going to end up at the back. We arrived here early, so why should we have to forsake our location just because you can't see the concert? Do you know it's frustrating? It's frustrating when there's no vision at a concert. It's frustrating when there's no vision at a sporting event. But on the flip side, it's actually fatal when there's no vision in your faith. It's fatal where there's no vision in your faith. My Bible says that, says in Proverbs 29, 18 in the Amplified Version, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and His Word, the people are unrestrained. Another version says the people perish. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. It's frustrating when there's no vision at events, but it's fatal when there's no vision for your faith. And tonight I want to focus on three things. I want to look at anointing. Everyone say anointing. God has an anointing on you. For every single person in Christ, God has an anointing on you. Secondly, I want to look at vision in you. Everyone say vision. And thirdly, I want to look at provision. Everyone say provision. God has provision for you. God has an anointing on you. He has a vision in you. And He has a provision for you. Mother of a couple of small kids. God has an anointing on you. God has vision in you. Well, He wants it in you, not just around you. He wants it in you. And He has provision for you. Tradie, God has an anointing on you. He has a vision that He wants to have in you. And He wants provision that He wants to bring to you. Student at high school, God has an anointing on you. He has vision that He wants to birth in you. He has a provision that He wants to bring to you. Uni student preparing for exams, hear this. God has an anointing on you. God has a vision that He wants to birth in you in that season. And God has provision for you to sustain you in this season. Musician who's looking for gigs, God has an anointing on you. He has a vision that He wants to bring to reality in you. And He has a whole stack of provision for the call of God on your life. Member of a local soccer club. Guess what, man? God has an anointing on you. He has an anointing for you in that soccer club. And He has a vision for you in that soccer club. And He has provision for you to actually accomplish that in Jesus' name. Now, I just wanted to bring some context to it. But first, I just want to pray that God would accomplish what He wants to accomplish in this space and in this place here tonight. I'm not going to preach for a long time. Like I said, I want to pray for a bunch of people at the end of this service. But I just want to focus on these three things: anointing, vision, and provision. God, we just thank You so much that You are here, that You inhabit the praises of Your people. And we thank You so much that You love us so much, that You want to continue to change us, transform us, so that we can live out the call of God that is on our lives, to shine Your light into this city, to shine Your light into this state, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the workplace, in the family, in the community, in the school, in the places and the cafes that You put us in throughout this week. We thank You that the Sunday is not more spiritual. The weekend isn't more spiritual, as we heard from Paul Bartlett this morning. That isn't the end game. The call of God and us out living the call of God on the day to day, the week to week. That's where Your calling is to, God. So I ask in Jesus' mighty name that You would birth something in people here tonight. We thank You that You have something for every single believer here tonight. And for those that are far from Christ, if you are currently far from Christ, God, I thank You, You have the greatest gift that You could ever give here, accessible for us to respond to and receive here tonight. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Actually, just before I jump into this message in full, I just want to encourage you. Was anyone here this morning? Such a brilliant message. If you get the chance and you weren't here this morning, look at the podcast throughout the week. Paul Bartlett, who's the pastor of probably one of the most community-impacting churches in Australia, spoke a message that was just so powerful at understanding the approach that we should take to build trust and to see God's kingdom advance in the lives of people far from Christ. So if you find it hard at times to share your faith and to evangelize or to encourage people with who you are in Christ, listen to the podcast. It will bless you abundantly. The second thing I wanted to encourage you was, there was a man sitting behind me. He's been attending church for 5 years. He's never responded to the altar call in 5 years, attending with his wife, attending with his kids. And this Sunday morning, he gave his life to Jesus. How amazing is that? How awesome is that? And that's why it's so important to walk the journey with people at times. Because not everyone's going to come to faith in a heartbeat. Sometimes they need to actually see the love of Christ outlived in believers to actually believe it for themselves. But let's never give up on those that are far from Christ. Let's never give up on those that are yet, I'm not going to say non-Christians, but are yet to step into the kingdom. Because maybe it's just one more service. Maybe it's one more you just going around to the house and loving on them and encouraging them that is going to bring them to that point where they go, wait a second, there's more to life than what I'm living currently. Wait a second, maybe this Jesus Christ does love me. Wait a second, maybe I should actually step out in faith and ask him to be my Lord and Savior. Be encouraged, church. So I want to look at these things. Anointing on you, vision in you, and provision for you. Whether are you, do you have no vision or are you in vision? Firstly, one, anointing on you. This, I was reflecting on this, and this is something that we say in church at times. That person's anointed. What does that even mean? Like, if you haven't grown up in a church context or a church family, you could hear someone say, oh, the anointing of God. And you can be like, the anointing of what? Like, what are you even talking about? The anointing of God, when we read about it, it actually originated, this is really interesting, it originated from something that shepherds would do in ancient Hebrew times. Shepherds would actually anoint the heads of sheep with oil. Sheep. Because if they didn't have oil around their ears and oil around their head, parasites and lice could actually crawl up into their ears. And when a little bug crawls into your ear when you're a sheep, it can actually kill you. So what they would do is they would anoint the head of a sheep and make it all slippery around that area of their head so that the ticks and stuff would just stick around the backside rather than go to the place where it could actually cause danger. So it's interesting that that was the origin of the word anointing. But then it was actually transferred, and what they actually carried it to was blessing, protection, and empowerment. We can read multiple scriptures, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to jump into all of them, but in Exodus 29:7, Exodus 49, 2 Kings 9-6, Ecclesiastes 9-8, James 5-14, it represents blessing, protection, and empowerment called by God. And this blessing, protection, and empowerment was symbolic. It wasn't about the oil, but it was about what God wanted to do for that chosen person to bring blessing, protection, and empowerment, and they called it anointing. And this anointing, they would anoint kings, they would anoint prophets, they would actually even anoint builders who were building the temple of God. God has an anointing for each and every single one of us. Because that's the Old Testament. But then we look into the New Testament and we see that there's actually a transfer of how the anointing is received. It's not just chosen by God through a prophet, but it's actually the finished work of Jesus that makes us anointed. Another meaning for the word anointed is chosen one. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit to spread the good news, to free those who have been held captive by sin. And we read that in Luke 4:18. And after Christ left the earth, he gave us the gift of his Holy Spirit, John 14:16. Now all Christians, so anyone who is in Christ, this anointing is not for you if you haven't come to Christ yet. But when we are in Christ, we are then God's chosen people and we are anointed. We have been set apart. We've been empowered. What were the three things again? Blessing, protection, and empowerment. He has got blessing, protection, and empowerment for us once we are in Christ. in 1 John 2:20 in the English Standard Version, it says, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have knowledge." In Corinthians 1:21-22, it says, "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who has also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." There is an anointing on you, each and every single one of us. Caleb, there's an anointing on you in your workplace. You're not just a mechanic, you're an anointed mechanic. You're a chosen mechanic. You're an empowered mechanic. You have God's protection on you whilst you do mechanical things. Mark, you're not just a circus clown. You're not a clown at all. I take that back. You were really funny when I was telling him, if you don't follow his sons on Instagram, they are hilarious. One of them was doing this crazy thing where Mark was a Russian father, and it was quite funny. I highly recommend watching it. But you're not just a circus backflipping awesome dude. You're an anointed awesome circusy backflipping dude. You're a blessed awesome anointed backflipping dude. You're a chosen circus backflipping awesome dude. Students, Jessica, pharmacy, you're not just a drug dealer. You're an anointed drug dealer. You're an appointed drug dealer. You're a chosen drug dealer. God's blessing and favor is on you for you to represent in that place. Ben, you're not just some dude that fixes up lights. You are the light of the world in that place. You were chosen in that place. You were set apart in that place to shine God's light into the darkness of other people's lives. Not to necessarily fix all their problems, but just to be there, present, and allow God's love and light to shine through you. If you are in Christ, God has an anointing for you to be his ambassador, to be his hands and feet, to live the life that he's called you to live, to shine his light, to shine his love, to fulfill the scripture, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon you," to open the eyes of the blind, the students in your school, to set the captives free, your children, when they're going through really tough stuff, to declare the year of the Lord's favor to your friends in your soccer club. The anointing is upon you to preach the gospel to all the world. The anointing is upon you to make disciples of all generations, to all nations, to any person that you have the privilege of actually leading and loving and showing and revealing the love of Christ to. The anointing is upon you. Say, "The anointing is upon me." Say it like you mean it. The anointing is upon me. One, the anointing is on you. Two, the vision needs to be in you. You know, I honestly don't believe it's enough just to have a vision written down. Like, I know the prophet Habakkuk said, you know, write it down, make it clear. Like, don't mishear me what I'm preaching here. But if you just write it down and then you ignore it, what good is it? See, there are things that I've written down over the years. A lot of the time it seems to happen near the start of a year. I don't know why that happens. Maybe it's got a little bit more reflective time, and I think to myself, you know what, I should make a few changes this coming year. So I write down stuff because I'm, you know, I've read the word, and the prophet Habakkuk said I should make it clear, I should write it down. But the problem is, if I write it down but then it doesn't actually abide in me, then it's wasted. And I want to encourage you, there's anointing on you, but we need to have the vision in you. And I'm not just talking about the vision for what you want to accomplish on your home renovations. You know, that's important. Like, don't ignore that. That can cause some marital issues if you ignore the door that's been broken and the wife keeps telling you, "Hey, we need to fix this, we need to fix this, we need to fix this." And you're like, "Oh, I've got vision for it. So, yeah, we'll get to that." You know, a little bit of advice, probably fix it. But I'm not talking about just worldly things here. I'm talking about kingdom things here. The vision that God has for us as his anointed people needs to be in us, people. Family, friends, it needs to be in us. What is God's vision? God's vision is that as his holy people set apart, that we would actually outlive that calling, that anointing that is upon us, to go and make disciples, to go and represent Jesus wherever we find ourselves, to recognize that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news, to open the eyes of the blind, for the girls at Ogilvy, for Hannah to actually represent and help set captives free, for Zali, for the other students at her school, to actually shine God's light into their lives, to represent him wherever we find ourselves. That is the vision that God has for you. I said, you can have all your other plans and all your other things, and they're, you know, all the best to you. Seriously, I hope you accomplish those things, especially if they're God-honoring good things. But the vision that God is most concerned about is the vision that he has for us as Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And not just putting on a Christian little label, but to actually live out the calling of a disciple, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, to love others as yourself, and to actually take seriously that commandment that God has for us, to go and bring the good news. I was loving, this morning I was at the back there, and obviously we heard this brilliant message about how to contextualizing how we can actually bring the good news to people that might have their back up against Christianity. You know, I'm not saying to everyone, go preach the good news. So go to Coorong, buy 50 tracts, stand out on the corner of Elizabeth Street and start handing them out to every person. You know, that might be, if that's your calling, then if that's your strategy, then Godspeed to you. But it's probably not. He probably wants you to actually just go to your workplace and represent God in the way, in your actions, in your integrity, in the words that you speak, not conforming to the patterns of the world, but actually allowing God's word to transform you in such a way that you bring transformation to that place. But I want to encourage you, whatever it is, wherever it is that God has positioned you currently, take that role seriously, friend. Take that role seriously. In the season that you're in, it's the only time that you'll get the chance to represent God in that space. Ben, what underage soccer do you play currently? I've said Ben a few times, but what's yours at the moment? 16. Do you know this is the only time you'll get to represent Jesus in under 16 soccer? Next year, you won't be allowed to. This is the only time that he'll have that opportunity. So that's why I want to encourage you, man. Represent him with your integrity, with your words, with your actions. If you get the opportunity to love someone and encourage them and stand with them, do it. Because you won't get that opportunity again. Whatever season of life you're in currently, this is the only time you're going to get that opportunity to represent God in that space. You know, we can spend money and make more money. We can give stuff away and get more stuff. You can't get more time. So let's make sure we spend it wisely. And the final one. So number one, God has an anointing on you. He wants his vision in you. And number three, he has provision for you. I love in the English Standard Version, Matthew 6. Jesus is teaching his Sermon on the Mount. And he shares this incredible revelation or this incredible teaching on not being anxious about things and understanding where provision truly comes from. And he says, therefore I tell you, laugh. No, it doesn't say that, sorry. It says, therefore I tell you, I just got distracted by someone laughing. I think we should all laugh together. Let's all laugh. Yeah, sorry. Oh no. Have you ever seen those things on, sorry, I'm getting real distracted real quickly. Have you ever seen those like groups that just meet together and laugh? Like, has anyone seen that on YouTube? And at first it's just really weird. And then it it just remains weird. But it, initially, they're sort of like, it's not real laughter. But then after a while, because it's just so ridiculous, everyone's actually legitimately laughing. And it's just hilarious. If you're bored for, you know, if you're up late on a Saturday night, check it out on YouTube. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you or little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, God has provision for you in the season that you're in, if you seek first his kingdom. If you seek first his kingdom. He has provision for you. But if you're just going about, if your vision for the season that you're in is all about self, he actually can't give you everything that you need for that season, because you're choosing not to actually choose him as Lord, but actually choosing yourself as Lord and choosing to navigate your own path. And him in his great mercy actually withholds provision so that you can actually get the right direction again. And I want to encourage you that our God is a good God and a loving Father. You know, when we read this scripture before in Proverbs, when I was talking about having the vision in you, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. You know, God's heart is for you to be happy and blessed. You know, sometimes you can read a scripture like that and just get caught up on people will perish if we don't have vision. That if we don't have vision, it's all going to go awry. But God's heart in it all is for us to actually be happy and blessed. But the condition of it is for us to actually be clinging to him and to be choosing his vision over just our own ambitions. Choosing his call over our own convenience. Choosing the life that he's calling us to live over just what we feel like we want to do in this current season, because this is just how I feel. You know, God has provision for you, but the clause is, it needs to come, like the provision that he has for you is actually tethered to the vision being in you. And I want to encourage you. Let's get those things in the right line. Number one, the anointing only comes when we get right with God. The vision needs to be something in here, where daily we wake up and go, God, help me to live this life for your glory. Help lead me in ways of righteousness for your name's sake. Help me be an ambassador wherever I find myself in this current season. And I can assure you, friends, that if we do that, you don't need to be anxious about anything else. Because as you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, he will add to you what you need. Not necessarily just what you want, but he will add what you need to sustain you in the season that you're in. I'm just going to ask Jessica to come back on the keys. The rest of the band can chill. I feel like I said at the very start, I feel like there's a fresh anointing here tonight for students studying. whether you're in high school, whether you're in college, whether in university. Actually, I see Kia in the room as well. Kia, what grade are you in? Grade 5. I feel like there's a fresh anointing for primary school students here tonight. No, I'm serious. I was saying it's slightly funny, so. But this is the only season that God's going to have you in primary school. You can't go back to primary school when you're 18. That's just seriously weird. Seriously. But I honestly believe that God wants to unlock a fresh anointing on people. He wants to birth a fresh vision in people, to actually see them positioned in that school on purpose by God, to bring the realities of heaven to fruition in that place, in the friends, in the social circles, in the lives of teachers even. I love the fact that when Jesus was really, really little and rocked up to the synagogue, and the Jewish priests are doing a bit of Q&Q or Q&A with Jesus, they're actually blown away by what Jesus was saying at like the age of 12, because the anointing of God was on him. You know, it's not age that brings wisdom and hence revelation. It's anointing. You can have an 80-year-old man up here with a lot of life experience, but without the anointing of God, it's just words. That's why a 12-year-old can actually bring transformation and revelation to 50-year-olds that have been going through, had a lot more life experience, not because of the age, but because of the anointing. Now, I want to invite every single student from the back of the room just to come up here, from the middle of this auditorium, to come up here. Come up here, guys. We're going to pray for you for a fresh anointing, for you to actually represent God exactly where you are. Exactly where you are. So come up, guys. Come up, guys. Let's give all the students from college, from university, from primary school, from high school a round of applause as they come up. Come up. Stand along the front here, guys. Come join us, guys, at the back. I know you guys are in school as well. God's got an anointing for you. Let's make a nice big line here. Thanks, Michaela. Come up, Brock. Brock, you're a legend, man. Come up, man. I know, it's scary. But look, there's a whole bunch of other people that are students as well. Oh, yeah, Jessica. Yeah, we're doing a swap over. I forgot Jessica's, yeah, she's near the end of her schooling, but she's still a student. So, and I just want to encourage each and every single person here in this auditorium to reach out their hands in faith. And we're going to pray for just an unlocking of God's vision in your life. Not just to be aware of it, but in your life. An unlocking of God's provision for your life and for God's anointing to come on you, because it's the anointing, as we just taught, that brings revelation. It's the anointing that brings transformation. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And you might be thinking, what the heck's the yoke? The yoke's just the heaviness of just religious thinking. The yoke's the heaviness of the weight of expectation. The yoke's the heaviness of just trying to strive in your own strength. It's the anointing. Hey, Isaac, come up, man. Come up, man. I feel like God's got an anointing for you, man. He loves you so much. He's not mad at you at all. He loves you. He is for you. He cares about you so much, man. And I know sometimes you think to yourself, I don't know if God even knows I'm here. He does. And he loves you. He is proud of you. Not for what you do, but for who you are. It's like your parents, they're not proud of you because of the amount of income you bring to the household. They're proud of you because you're their son. That's how God sees you as well. Come up, man. I want to give you a hug. And Elsie, come up from the back as well. I know you're a student. You are. You're young, so you're learning stuff. We're in a season of life of learning. Let's give Isaac a round of applause. Seriously, man. We love you. God loves you. He is for you. Let's all reach out our hands in faith. If Peter, Elizabeth, Jen, Simon, even Caleb, do you want to, Warren, anyone else actually, if you really feel called to come and lay hands, you're more than welcome to. We're just going to pray for this incredible group of people. God, we just thank you for each and every single person standing here along the front, of this church, God. And we just ask in Jesus' mighty name for just a fresh anointing on them, for the anointing of God to be so present on their lives that it actually brings transformation to the school that they're in, to the season that they're in the social circles that they're in the soccer teams that they're in the universities that they're in the colleges that they're in. God, we thank you so much that there is a calling on their life, that you have called them, you've called them son, you've called them daughter, you've called them your chosen priesthood, you've called them your chosen vessel of empowerment, of life, to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring direction, to bring freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is upon them to bring good news, to set captives free, to set captives free. I thank you so much for Daniel. You've called him to set captives free. That he's not just here just to go through the motions, but you've called him to speak life and to speak truth into people's lives, and that's going to set captives free. Thank you so much, God, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon each and every single one of these people, God. And we thank you that your vision that you have for their life, God, that you want to see it come to fruition. You want that vision to abide in them, a vision to know that they don't need to gain approval from all the people in the world. You know, Facebook will send likes at times, but your love endures forever. Facebook likes come and go, but your love endures forever. We thank you that the affirmation from the Father is so much greater than the affirmation from some other teeny bopper. Actually, none of these guys are teeny boppers. These guys are legends. But, you know, from other random people that they might have as peers, God, we thank you that your approval trumps that, God. So we ask that your vision would just be fully embedded in their hearts, fully embedded in their minds, fully embedded in their spirit, fully embedded in their soul. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you, King Jesus. And we thank you that you're going to provide provision to see that vision accomplished. God, we thank you for schools, for colleges, for universities, for primary schools that are going to be impacted by each and every single one of these people just living out the call of God on their lives. And Lord, whatever's holding them back, we pray that would be broken in Jesus' name. Fear of man, comforts of the world, the pain of the past, the tensions of the present, God, whatever it is, Lord, we ask that you would break that off in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hey, everyone, just look up for a second. Look up for a second. Look how many people here are currently present in a school, in a college, or in a university here in this room at the moment. Do you know Jesus turned the world upside down with 12 disciples? Imagine what he can do with 24 people here in Hobart. Seriously, if each and every single one of you live out the full calling of God on your life in the place that you're positioned currently, that's revival. We don't have to pray for revival. You are revival. You are revival. You carry that in you. Let's just give God a praise in this place. And you guys, feel free to... Actually, before you grab a seat, can I take... I'm not a millennial, but can I take like an awesome selfie with all you guys? Feel free to get in the photo behind me. You guys need to squeeze in. It's only appropriate to get a selfie with all the students. Seriously. And I just want to say to you guys, I am so stoked to be the pastor of this service and to get to do life with you guys. And in closing, I'm sincere when I say this. If you ever need me to come and just hang out with you to chat through stuff because some people are bullying you, because life is getting tough, please message me. Please inbox me, because I genuinely care about each and every single one of you. Alright, Kaya? Or you can always message Jen. Or someone else that you seem to get along well with. But let's see. Can we get everyone in here? There we go. 3, 2, 1. Yay! There we go. Alright, now let's give God a round of applause. So good. Have you got something to share, Kaya?